This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Lowry with 4:23 to go. They could use another 24 seconds. Drives and kicks outside to Leonard. He'll get off a three and he'll hit. Kawhi Leonard with 4:16 to go has put the Raptors up 19 and forcing Milwaukee to call for time.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
On the ground, in the right field, a base hit. Here comes Williamson. This game is over. As the Giants come back with three runs here in the ninth inning. And what a great advantage from Joe Panik.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Now Schwartz looking for the redirect. Thomas for the puck. 15 seconds remaining on the power play. Petrangelo with a puck. His first in 14 games.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague, Andy Dirt Johnson in with you on this happy hump day.
What is happening?
Hump day!
Well, my computer doesn't work. How many times have you guys heard that on this station from any show?
Probably quite a few, I'd imagine.
Hey, my computer doesn't even turn on and I can't get to the room to turn it on because... The engineer locked the office, and the engineer's not here.
He's not here. He will be back shortly. He's just, we don't know what's going on. It won't turn on. There's no buttons. We can't quite figure this one out today.
Well, okay, so...
This is why I bring my laptop in every day, because I used to have this same problem with my personal... This computer, I still contend my computer is the worst one in the entire building, and I just gave up on it like 8 months ago, and I bring my laptop in and use it every day.
No, that's a brand new computer because Cam complained enough.
Okay, he finally got it changed.
Yeah,
we both have new computers.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
okay,
it's all good.
Here's my problem. One, they put the power box.
It's way under here.
It can't quite get to it.
But Swag told me that it's here now.
Oh.
It used to be in a different room. So if this computer was ever off, I'd have to leave and go to a different room to turn on.
Yeah, the power boxes used to be in different rooms, which makes a ton of sense.
So... I think it's working now.
Woohoo!
So that's good.
Nice.
Dusty, what are we doing here?
Yeah, come
We're just
on,
turning
Dusty.
The computer off?
Yeah, let's go. You got to be better than that, Dusty.
What are we, a rookie?
Come on.
You've only been doing this for like 15 years.
There's one rule of the studio computers, and that is you never turn them off because none of us know how to turn them back on.
Well, it's just a nightmare. It ends up always being a nightmare.
Well, and we never get in. We probably should at this point, knowing how bad our computers are, come in and like check them out a half hour before the show and see if they're working.
I'll be honest with you. That shouldn't be part of my job to make sure a computer works. It's 2019, for God's sakes.
How long have you been working here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, true, but that shouldn't, of the things of your job, think of all the things you guys do out there. Now, you throw something that shouldn't be in your job and you say, that's your job now, you're going to be like, I don't want to do that part too. Come on here.
Don't add something to my plate.
Make sure the computer's working. That's
all
I'm
asking. Well, are we on? Are we hot? Are we on? Are we working?
I think we're working.
Okay, look at that.
It's loading, so we'll find out here in a minute. It's funny this technology thing just happened to me.
Technology and stuff.
Yeah, technology and stuff. Do you know what I had on my door yesterday when I got home? So I go take my dog out when I get home, and right at my doorstep, an old Dex phone book for Clackamas County.
They still make those things?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they still do.
You got one, huh? I didn't get one.
I haven't had one in 5-6 years.
What the hell?
It turns out they're about a fourth of the size that they used to be when we were kids.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. They haven't changed it. It's still every business, every Barbara within your county is listed in that book. That has a home phone number, of course.
That is just wild to remember the days when you actually had to use a phone book to look something up or
damn
to call
it,
something.
Dusty.
It's not working still. I genuinely want to know, when was the last time anybody used a phone book for phone book purposes?
So this was my thought on my dog walk was, because I threw it inside, I'm like, okay, whatever. Who still needs to use a phone book?
I can't think of anybody. Because if there's any number that you need to know, you simply Google it.
But like, what's the percentage of people you think in your county that do not have a cell phone?
Zero.
Or internet access?
I mean, I'd imagine most people at this point probably have cell phones and some form of internet access to find things. That has to be a very slim portion of the population. Like, I do this a lot when I want to, like, order food, for example, or you make a reservation for a restaurant or something. Like, you used to have to look that up in the phone book. Oh, let's find the restaurant. Okay, now you just Google it. You Google the place. What's the phone number? There's a button right there when you Google it that says call.
I Yelp it.
You could Yelp it, too. I mean, all of this is available right on your fingertips.
Yeah.
Like, I think phone books might still come in handy in other ways. Maybe you need something to stand on. Maybe
starting a fire.
Maybe you rip them all the pages out and use it for fire starters. So, I mean, at least they have that going for them, but I don't know why anybody would still have to use it.
But here's the thing, though. While those things are true, they're not making the phone book for you to stand on. By the way, standing on, when I tell you it's like a fourth of the size of the old one, it might be smaller than that. It was, I don't know, 2 inches wide. It was tiny. They're not creating the phone book dirt for those purposes. So while you're poo-pooing what I'm throwing out, I gotta believe that they're still creating this thing because there is a decent percentage of people who find the phone book still useful.
Now, I gotta ask this question too. This might be dumb, but I don't know if you know the answer to it. Who pays for that?
I imagine the county.
Yep, county. They do it?
City? I don't know how funds are
because
situated.
Because if that is
within.
A part of the funds that come from the city, isn't there I'm not saying phone books are
it's probably not expensive but what is that cost?
That's what I'm saying. Is there a better use for that, whatever, $49.99 that it takes to bind all those bad boys together every year? Who pays for those?
Again,
that's the phone company, and I mean,
but how do they, okay.
What's the phone?
Well, Pages part, they're still, I mean, I guess they're still trying to sell advertising. Like you used to get for a company.
When you
I
would
think
use
that's
them.
That's where the money comes from.
Does anybody buy advertisement in the Yellow Pages?
Well, I don't know.
Dude, there was, yeah, I
there
had flipped it open because I'm like, is this still the same kind of book?
Yeah.
And first page, there's some real estate guy smiling, and I'm like, that's where you go with advertising, huh?
I'll sell your house.
I think I'd rather just put myself on Craigslist. Casual encounters. Man seeking woman and male.
Oh, hey.
You click it and there's me with my real estate picture. Like, call me if you need to sell a house.
I'd rather put my face on like the butt area of a bench. Hey, I sat on your face on a bench. Yeah, let me sell your house.
Hey, you're blessed.
You could go to I Love You Man. His face is in a urinal.
Yeah.
I peed on that guy's face.
I peed on his face.
But it's effective.
Right? You got to get your message out there.
Last time you guys used a phone book, can you try to recall the year?
No clue. It has to have been.
Throw out a number. I'll go mine. 1998.
Yeah.
I don't know. 15 years, maybe.
Nowhere near the last 15 years. So at least more than 15 years ago.
When I moved into my current place that I'm living now, I never got a landline. So I've never had a landline.
I had a landline for a while at my last house, and then I stopped doing that.
You did. You had a landline phone.
I still might bring it back.
Well, okay.
When cell phones
bring
go
it
down,
back, man.
That's
bring
right.
it back.
When the cell phones go down,
when the zombie apocalypse comes,
I'll have a landline. And then if that doesn't work,
you're screwed.
Maybe I get the Morse code going.
Yeah.
Maybe I will. All right, let's find out what's on tap for today's show.
Dirt and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com.
Somebody said FCC still requires phone companies to publish it by law.
So really? Does the FCC pay for it?
No, I mean, the advertising pays for it, but
What do you charge for advertising in a phone book?
Somebody said it was hundreds of dollars for a half-page ad for my business in the Yellow Pages.
Really?
Which I would ask, what?
Same listener, if you're still listening, can you chime back in? I want to know if you have found it effective.
Yeah.
I think you're short-selling the phone book group.
Maybe it's like elder law, you know, retirement.
Elder.
Retirement homes.
Elder law?
Elder law. Elder law.
Like old people have to have it?
Yeah, you don't watch Better Call Saul?
No.
He gets into elder law, writing wills for
old
people.
I just thought you were trying to say elderly and you didn't
no.
say it right.
No. Like lawyers for the elderly. I'm saying maybe they advertise in the Yellow Pages.
Okay.
No? No? Not good?
I mean, I'm not saying it's not good. I don't know. I'm just curious, though. Is it working for your business? If it is, then great.
Yeah.
I'm all for it.
Maybe we're just missing the mark. Maybe we should put an ad in the Yellow Pages next year.
We are usually the morons here, so.
Hey, listen to our show. Old people still do listen to the radio, so we might have an angle in there.
Our demographic's pretty good. I like our age demographic. We got a good show today. We told you yesterday we'd get to the exit interview, so we have the audio. We'll hear from Neil Olshey and Damian Lillard. There's also some audio out there of one former Blazer who was here up until yesterday. Scottie Pippen, may have heard of him, played for a little team called the Rockets.
He was hammered after game 3.
You didn't see him for game 4 either.
No, was he having a good time?
Yeah, he had a fun time.
Yeah, he was stumbling around the bowels of the Moda Center after game 3.
Game 3, he was much more drunk than game 4, but he was having a good time.
He was having a good time.
He gives his thoughts on the Damian Lillard Supermax stuff. Not exactly complimentary of Dame Dalla getting $191 million. So we'll dive into that a little bit. Bring back a cut from Bobby Marks if you missed that interview from yesterday. Mike Richmond will join us for the ticker. We've got a former Atlanta Braves draft pick who burned my team last year, is projected to be a second-round pick, and now he's flipping Major League Baseball on its entire head. Also, Brian Gumbel gives his thoughts on the status of Major League Baseball as a whole.
Brian Gumbel, let's go.
Hey, real sports, man. We have our Game of Thrones recap. I told you guys we'd do it Tuesday. We got cut up with Game 4, so we're going to do it today at 1:15. I shouldn't even have to give you a spoiler alert. If you're truly a fan, it's Wednesday. No, it's, what have you waited for?
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers also chimes in with the ending to the show. I quite enjoyed it.
He became even more of a goat after his take on the final episode.
Yes, he became more likable. We've got Kevin Durant stuff beefing with Chris Broussard. The Eastern Conference Finals is tied at 2-2. Dirt has the Blazer trade machine working. He told me this morning, Spray Guy, I spent an hour looking at contracts yesterday, and I thought, wow, did we switch bodies? What's going on here?
That's where my fandom is at right now.
And then we've got Statter Story at 2:15. We're on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague, at Theater Johnson, at Brandon Sprague. We will start with exit interviews. What does Neil Olshey and Damian Lillard think of the offseason upon us and the season that just went down? We'll hear from those guys next. Dirt and Sprague with you. Happy Wednesday on 1080 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 1218 on The Fan. Hope you're enjoying your Wednesday.
Everybody's a little...
I thought Swag just quit. I really
did. I think after that opening segment, he just walked out and said, I am done.
He doesn't normally leave his studio.
No, I needed to access some details. I'm trying to get the last Statter Story thing.
Oh,
and I couldn't open it on this computer. I had to go to my computer to open up what I was looking for.
Yeah, you normally don't leave with like 20 seconds left before we come back.
I'm really intrigued on what's coming on Statter Story now.
Me too. Let's get to the exit interviews as the people talked yesterday.
That they did. Not a lot, but some interesting things came from it.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is one of like three times, maybe four, all year we get to hear from Neil Olshey on anything.
Yeah, this is about it.
How long did he go for yesterday? Like, if I'm a beat guy, like if I'm the Freemans and the Quicks,
I'd have to ask Marcus. Marcus went down for us yesterday.
I have like 6 to 7 questions easily just by myself that you have to get out there because you don't know when the next time you get to talk to him. The draft, maybe?
It'll probably be the draft. And then if they sign anybody in free agency or re-sign somebody, there'll be a press conference for both of those. He'll talk.
And then it's media day.
Then media day right before the season starts.
And then he usually does one like around the trade deadline-ish.
If he makes a deal, he'll do something at the trade deadline.
Yeah, and that's it.
So it's like, is that 5? Can we just count five? Four or five?
Depends on your signings and how your summer goes. But yeah, probably about five times a year.
Do you think people want to hear from him more? Is that important to fans or no?
They would want to hear from him if he is being completely honest and candid, or as much as he can be. I think the problem with him over recent years is just people feel like they're just getting spin.
Because I, as a media member, I think it's two perspectives here. I would love to interview him.
Yeah, we all would.
I mean, it'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even want to, like, attack him. I just have a lot of curious questions. But that's never provided, and I always wonder if the fans care about that, or maybe they don't care at all about hearing from the GM.
I think there used to be more heat because you didn't have a lot of postseason success, and a lot of that heat has cooled off.
So the more success you have.
If he has a quiet offseason where he's not doing many interviews, I think most people at least say, you give him the benefit of the doubt. When you prove people wrong and you make signings like Cantor and Hood that come up huge for you in the postseason, that without them you're not in the Western Conference Finals. It takes a little bit of heat off, and I think the fans feel it.
Well, let's hear from Lillard and Olshay here. Let's start with Damian Lillard, who talked about, is this the load management one? Because it just said Lillard management. So I couldn't tell if he was commenting on the Portland management situation or load management. Because the way Mike wrote that, it was like,
is he talking about the management of the Blazers?
I think it's load management.
Okay.
Because if it is, I don't want to play
it. No, it's on his talk with management.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. There we go. Let's play that. Then Damian Lillard's discussions with management.
I mean, I'm sure it'll be a conversation about it, but I'll probably be the one listening. You know, obviously, when they ask me questions or what I think about stuff, I'll give them answers. But, you know, since I've been here, they've done a great job. And I think that's a huge part of why we've been able to continue to be a successful team and continue to push forward.
Assuming that just means with free agency draft stuff that, you know, he has a conversation, they talk to him after they decide things and see how he feels about it. Terry Stotts did receive the extension yesterday, and Neil Olshay announced that himself. Here's Neil Olshay on Terry Stotts just as the head coach of Portland.
We win every year. You know,
winning is important. We can talk culture all you want. You got to win.
So, you know, I mean, look, it's year seven, six straight playoff appearances, right? Three trips to the second round, one to the conference finals, two division titles. I mean, and again, we still have one of the youngest rosters in the league. Our young players develop. You know, there's a great partnership. You know, and you do have to win. But I think, you know, we saw this in the past. I mean, friends of Terry's and mine that won, and because of extenuating circumstances that went beyond the win-loss record, guys weren't retained. You know, so it goes beyond just wins and losses. It's alignment. It's partnership. It's knowing the organization is moving forward. It's a commitment to a longer-term view that there are priorities beyond just the next game. And I think one of the things, you know, I'm most proud of the coaching staff, wins and losses, you know, that happens. I mean, there's injuries. You know, there's guys that perform at a high level. Guys have down years. Everyone that's come through here has gotten better. And at heart, you're hiring a coach to be a teacher. And, you know, as we see the league get younger and younger, there's such a value placed, especially in a market like Portland, where we can't always buy our way out of trouble, on developing our young players and finding reclamation projects and developing them. And I think when you look across the league, I don't know if anybody's had as much success as this staff of second round picks panning out, guys that have flamed out elsewhere becoming contributing and integral players. And it is a culture and it's a style of play. And that consistency, you know, when you asked, you know, Jason, a little bit about going forward, that's important. You know, I don't know that if we didn't have this consistency here, that we get Rodney Hood to give up his bird rights, that we get Enes Kanter to come in a buyout, and then once they came, that they would flourish. So I think the consistency that we have in terms of the kind of players that we acquire, the discipline that we have to know who will and won't succeed here, and entrusting the coaching staff that when we acquire guys that fit what we do on and off the court, they're going to be successful and their abilities are going to be maximized.
You know, when a team loses, it's easy in that moment to then question a lot of things. This is one of the more no-brainer things he's had to deal with as a GM, is retaining Terry Stotts.
Yeah.
A guy who, when he got here, was considered by many to be a stepping stone for the next coach to come and really take Lillard to the next step with this group And Terry gets here. They don't win his first year, and basically they've won every year since. And he has had so much success. I was texting with some buddies yesterday. They were like, was this a good idea? And I said, well, this is a no-brainer. Like, this was one of the easier decisions you had to make all year. They could have lost in round two, and I still think this would have been a no-brainer.
Right.
The dude's not perfect, but he is one of the top five coaches in the NBA. That's easy to me.
Yeah, and you don't make a move after going to the Western Conference Finals. The main thing about Terry Stotts is he's beloved by his players and mainly his superstar. That to me has always been one of the biggest battles of an NBA coach is how do you manage egos, how do you manage stars, and how do you get along with the top dog in the locker room? And if there's not a good relationship there, the coach isn't going to last very long, no matter how smart or talented of a coach he might be. That's where it all starts for Terry Stotts. Him and Damian Lillard have been together since Dame came into the NBA. They clearly have a great relationship over the years. And, you know, the culture stuff, we've laughed about it in the past. Clearly it played an impact on them getting to the conference finals this year. The whole culture and tone in that locker room starts with the relationship between the head coach and the star of the team, and then it funnels on down to everybody else. So, and if there was a beef with Dame and Terry Stotts, he probably would have been fired a couple of years ago. But those guys get along. He's a successful head coach. He's had a good run throughout the conference finals. This was an absolute no-brainer.
Well, O'Shea also talked about their ownership situation because a lot of people have speculated about Jody Allen and what she's going to do. Here's Neil Olshey on Jody Allen.
Nothing's unsettled.
Nothing.
You know, Jody's our owner. She's been fantastic in terms of her engagement. I mean, I know you guys have seen her at games. You know, she's addressed the team when we've asked her to, you know, after each series. I mean, she was really emotional after the OKC series. I think that was the kind of validation, you know, knowing, you know, how much Paul believed in the core of this group, but wanted to make sure we were on the right track and to see it come to fruition. And then last night, I think at a time when we were all a little bit broken, Jody stepped up and spoke to the team in a way that I think resonated with everybody and struck a chord with all the players and staff and everyone was there that, you know, she has our back. She has a vision for the franchise. She believes in the group. She cares about the players, you know, as much the magnitude of what she has had to take on in, you know, after our loss of Paul, but the fact that at a time when we needed, you know, ownership to show solidarity with front office and coaching staff and business division, she was there for us. And, you know, as evidenced by today, you know, Joe, I mean, you know, I had kind of softened the beach a little bit throughout the process with Jody, but, you know, immediately I made a recommendation to Jody about Terry. And she signed off on it right away. And that's, you know, that's what you want. You know, you want decisive decisions and you want someone that's looking out for the best interests of the organization as a leader. And that's what she's been since she's taken over last October.
Sure feels like based on that answer, and I had seen some quotes tweeted about that and I wanted to play that today. Sure seems like maybe taking over at first, it was like, I don't really care about basketball. I'm out. And that's why the rumors were going about the Seahawks and the Blazers and people getting worried and whatnot. But like as the season went on, as this amazing run continued, she was at the games. She seemed by all accounts to really enjoy herself and love everything that was a part of it. Look, she might end up selling the team years down the road. But right now it feels like it's a pretty stable situation. Maybe this maybe this city and this season, maybe it like changed her emotionally and she's just now going to be the owner and loves it now. Who knows? But it sure doesn't seem like Neil Olshey is worried at all about ownership situations.
Yeah, a lot of that too came from the clickbait article saying that City Hall folks it was an imminent sale of the Blazers, what's to come. And then all the fear mongering of them moving back to Seattle was stirred up again. I always thought it was ridiculous. And as you're mentioning, as Olshey talked about there, I think it's one thing when you're on the outside looking in and you just view it as an asset. Like, she never had anything to do with the Blazers, wasn't associated with the team. To my knowledge, never really went to games or was a part of it. She just knew it was a deep, fond love of her brothers, and he had a tremendous passion for it. It's one thing when it's just this outside entity and you just view it as a moneymaker, as opposed to actually getting to know the staff, being around the organization, being around the building, seeing the fans and the way they interact with the players. It becomes a much, I think, more personal relationship with her. You saw that throughout the course of the postseason. And as of right now, I wouldn't imagine anything is going to happen in the short term. And I think that's good news for Portland fans. And if she holds on to it, it can really be a legacy play for her and her family to try and accomplish something here that Paul always fought so hard to try and get done.
Absolutely. Well said. All right, we'll continue with the exit interviews in about 15, but coming up next for the Daily Ticker, one last time, and then the Ticker will start going to other stories outside. We will do a Blazer interview with Mike Richmond, get his thoughts on the summer that is upon us here in Portland. What does he think Olshay and the team are going to look to achieve? Mike Richmond next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in here. Daily Ticker time, 12:35 here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. And we bring on good friend of the show, Mike Richmond, NBC Sports Northwest, on Twitter at Mike G. Ritz. He joins us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Mike, I want to start, before we get to the summer and what the season was, I do want to start with the Damian Lillard Supermax stuff, which is, you know, a lot of people nationally are giving their thoughts on the Supermax contract. Obviously, Westbrook has it. I think Steph just got it. Wall's contract is probably the worst one of the group because he can't play. Scottie Pippen yesterday said now isn't the time. He also alluded to Lillard maybe not being worthy of that kind of contract, that only a couple guys in the entire league are. While Damian Lillard might be worthy of the money for everything that he has done here in Portland and embracing the team, your thoughts on giving a player the Supermax and being able to still contend?
And it'd be a good thing yet.
Mike. Hey, can you restart the answer because you were not on when you started talking?
Cool. How about now? Can you guys hear me?
We got you loud and clear.
And you guys run a daily radio show?
You wouldn't be able to guess it by the amount of things that go wrong in this building, but yes.
Okay. I don't know that there's been a Supermax contract that's handed out that's been good, like capital G good yet. The Wall contract is going to be an absolute disaster. Russell Westbrook is on the downswing as his contract pays him $40-plus million. Steph Curry is really good, so the jury's still out on what he's worth or whatever. But from a team standpoint, what are the Blazers going to do if they don't give Dame this money? Letting him walk in 2021, it's not even on the table, so I don't know. Like, but as a hypothetical, they don't just get money to spend. If they're going to pay someone a ton of money to be the anchor of the franchise, it's this guy and you do it now. It's probably going to be a wild overpay when Dame is 34 years old, mm-hmm. but you pay the team to have what you have.
Yeah. Well, and looking at this offseason, too, on top of that, because we expect that to come once we find out Damian Lillard gets first team or second team All-NBA, you got the big four free agents that have been talked about a lot now and just how they're going to fit into the offseason plans, considering Portland has next to no money to spend, from Rodney Hood, Cantor, Seth Curry, and Al Farouq Aminu. Where do we gauge the likelihood of all four of those guys and them being back on the roster next year?
There is no chance all four before. I think what it comes down to is choosing between Rodney Hood and Enes Kanter. I think Al Farouq Aminu is a near lock to return to the roster. I know that the fan base out there might think that that's wild, but think about it like this. Yeah. Listen, Al Farouq Aminu didn't exactly do himself a ton of favors playing against the best team in the NBA. He was close to unplayable despite his minutes.
Damn,
don't pay Al Farouq Aminu. It's not like you have money. There's no money that comes. It's basically free money you give to him. I think the real question is whether they commit 3 years to him or would they try to sign him for a 2-year deal or whatever. But you have to pay him because if you don't, you just sacrifice that roster spot and you are asking to fill his shoes with a minimum guy.
Right.
That's probably not a good decision. So he's coming back. Also, he's a Neil guy. Neil drafted him with the Clippers, signed him with the Blazers. Yeah. Neil loves Neil guys. Chief's coming back. But then you come up with what they kind of do between the other two guys, with Hood and Cantor. Seth's gone. I don't think Seth enjoyed his time here too much. which is probably his own fault because there's only one ball and Dame and CJ were on the team when he signed the contract. But Enes Kanter is a possibility, although I think he's unlikely. And Rodney Hood on the open market might be more expensive than the Blazers can afford. So maybe they have to make a trade to get to the taxpayer mid-level money, about $8 million to sign Rodney Hood.
Okay, we're talking with Mike Richmond, NBC Sports Northwest here for the ticker. A couple of things here. I'll start with Aminu, kind of a two-parter for you. One, what do you think the number per year is with Al-Farouq? And then two, do you think Stotts would change his lineup next year if they signed Al-Farouq and maybe bring him off the bench? Or do you think, or do you, in your opinion, do you I still think he would put him in the starting lineup, assuming there's no major overhaul changes?
How long has Chief been in the NBA? What's the max for Chief? I'm giving Al-Farouq Aminu $35 million. No, I don't know. I think he's like, what's he make now? 8 or 9? I think somewhere that's there, the range, yeah. Between $7 to $9 million a year for him. He's got real limitations. Those real limitations show up in the playoffs, but he's good. Like, he's a good rotation level power forward. He's not a small forward. At Mike G. Rich, if you'd like to argue with me, at Mike G. Rich on Twitter, he's a power forward. He's pretty good. I think they'll keep him around. And the second part, Terry Stotts doesn't change his starting lineup, you know, unless there's a minor catastrophe, and even sometimes in a major catastrophe, he sticks with the same starters. So I think he's the guy. The real failing of Al-Farouq Aminu is the Blazers roster. They haven't had a better option at power forward other than him. You can say he's bad, but you can't point to someone on the end of the bench who's definitely better.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The expiring contracts going into next year, I think, are the one thing that Portland might have to play with. Then we'll see if they want or try to do anything with it this summer, or if they're more of a trade deadline thing. But just on those, where would you put the likelihood Evan Turner and Mo Harkless and Myers Leonard are on the roster at training camp next year?
I think it's pretty high, just because I think those contracts are kind of hard to move. I did get the sense leaving the locker room on whenever that was, the end of game four, that Evan Turner was considering the real possibility that he would be traded this summer. He said something like, well, who knows if I'll be back, when I was, you know, telling him that I'll see him around. So I think he knows that he'll be on the trading block, but is there another team out there that's willing to take $18 million of Evan Turner at age 31? God knows. And if it means attaching a draft pick or whatever to sweeten the deal, is Neil Olshey willing to do that, or would he rather just eat $18 million to Evan Turner and see what happens? Mm-hmm. I think the other guys are on the roster. They're just hard to move. I, as boring as it is, and I talked about this when I was on your guys' show about a month ago, that there was an outside chance that the Blazers kind of got to where they wanted to go and then stood pat. I think the most boring thing and the correct thing the Blazers could do is stand pat and hope things break their right way again and hope Yusuf Nurkic is healthy.
Okay, let me get you out of here on this one then, Mike, because I remember when you said that, and it's really stuck with me, and I believe you at this point too. But let's say they get bumped in rounds one or two next year, and it doesn't appear that there's a path. Now, Neil is not an impulsive guy. I think we knew that after last summer when they lost to the Pelicans, and there was really no changes made. Do you think something like next year coming short of the Western Conference Finals would lead him to make a drastic move or act on that at that point? Or do you think he really does play this thing out till these guys are 33, 34, and he just rolls and hopes to God that he hits during the stretch?
I think that he is more likely, you know, like greater than 50% chance that he stands fat with this core and tries to do what he's really good at, which is bargain shop. I mean, that's where Neil has been impressive. He hasn't, when the sticker gets big, when the price tag gets big, he's kind of struggled. But on the small price tag stuff, I think he's done really well. I think a first round exit makes you reconsider the group. But the thing that the move to make is to trade CJ McCollum, and the Blazers don't make the Western Conference Finals without him. And I'm sure Neil knows that. I think this run reaffirmed his belief. I think he said it, that the first round exit was the fluke, not their performance in the regular season. I think he stands by that, and I think this is the core, for better or for worse.
Yeah. There we go. Good stuff. NBC Sports Northwest, Mike Richman at Mike G Rich also has the Locked On Blazers podcast. Give him a follow on Twitter. Check out everything he's doing online as well. Mike, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on all year, and we'll catch up with you down the road, man.
Oh, yeah. There's more stupid NBA offseason stuff. I'm sure I'll be back.
Absolutely. There we go. Mike Richman, NBC Sports Northwest. Didn't have time. Like the Seth Curry thing, do you think that was more about like Seth wanted probably more of an opportunity to shine? Because I thought...
I mean, that's foolish if he did. That, to me, is the only reason why you would be upset or unhappy with your time in Portland. But as Mike pointed out, you signed with a team with two guards that play a ton of minutes and put up a ton of shots.
Well, it also might have been your only option.
True, because he was coming off a career, or not career, but season-long injury the year before. Yeah. So maybe Portland was the only team that wanted him. But if you come to Portland and you're disappointed about Damon CJ shooting too much, I'll point you in the direction of maybe another team that could get you more shots.
Well, let me ask this question to the listeners. Do you want him to stand pat, bring the whole group back? Do you want him to be aggressive? I really want to know the thoughts on this one. We'll hear from Neil Olshey, Damian Lillard on the roster needs. All of that is next. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan. All right, we have a lot more to get to in hour number two, so let's dive back into this. I asked for the break. Do you want the team to be aggressive? Do you think they need to be aggressive, or do you take the Neil approach? My gut is this. Like, if an opportunity presents itself, I don't think Neil's going to pass it up. And I'm talking like a great opportunity. But I also don't... He's been showing, and his MO is basically, this is my group. This is it. And look, it worked really well for him this year. They got to the Western Conference Finals.
They did.
Before we hear from him on this season... Would you like them to be aggressive, or do you think you roll this group back and you see what happens next year, and then in the summer of 2020, you evaluate where you're at?
I always want them to be aggressive. I think that should be the plan of every management team, especially when you get to the point that Portland was in and having a lead in three of the four games against Golden State, letting it slip through your fingers. You're clearly not to where Golden State is, and there's no move out there unless you get Anthony Davis this offseason that puts you on the same level as Golden State. Doesn't mean you shouldn't try. It can backfire. I think you look at Houston as an example of that. Like the last 2-3 years, Houston has spent all of their attention and energy on one thing, and that's trying to beat Golden State. Now they got themselves in some bad contracts, and they're kind of in a Portland situation where there's not much flexibility. The reason, though, why I maintain being aggressive is I do think expiring contracts have value. Now, I don't know if they have value this offseason more so than the trade deadline, and that's why I'm not necessarily going to give up hope if they don't make a big move this offseason that something could still come at the trade deadline. But if you're going to stand pat and just say this is our group and you're going to let those deals expire because you have Myers, Moe, Evan Turner all with one more year on their contracts, which equates to just shy of $40 million for the three of them combined. You're then telling me your strategy is to go sign a free agent with that $40 million left over. That will also be the year before Damian Lillard's extension kicks in, and he'll go from making $30 million to $47 million. So that's going to eat up a chunk of that money. CJ McCollum might get an extension this year. I am all for being aggressive because if you don't, you're going to rely on the free agent class of 2020. And just in scrolling through it, It's not that great. It's not like there's a lot of household names out there, and Portland doesn't have a great track record of signing guys. So I say be aggressive, use the expirings, and try and find a team who's looking to dump salary that will take on three expiring contracts.
Well, here's a guy that plays on that roster. Damian Lillard was asked about the roster needs, and here's his thoughts.
I'm not sure. You know, I'm anything that I'm a part of, I become a believer of that. So I believe in our team. You know, I think going into the Western Conference Finals, I was, in my mind, this was a shot for us to win it all. You know, I really felt that we could have beat the Warriors and went on to win it all. So I'm not sure I can say it's something that we need or anything like that. I think if we have Nurk, it's a completely different situation, and that's not to be a crutch or to be an excuse or nothing like that. I just think with him out there, I think this would have you know, our season would have probably been extended a little bit longer. And, you know, I think you got to take that into consideration. But it's always, you know, every season is free agents. Every season rosters change. So that means it's always opportunity for you to improve your roster. So
I see what he's saying, how he feels. Like, I don't like that, though. I mean, that's part of the game. Like, Golden State wants KD back. He's out with an injury. So.
They didn't have KD, Boogie, or Iguodala for game four,
no.
too.
So. I see his point, but that's part of the game is injuries happen.
Yeah.
Here's Neil Olshey. Let's get to this one. Feeling vindicated on this year. He's had a lot of criticism on our station, I think on other people's, on articles, nationally a little bit. People wonder when you're going to break up Damon CJ. Well, he didn't, and they got to the West Finals. Here's Neil Olshey on feeling vindicated from this year.
Vindication's a word, proud is a word. You know, I think we did. I think we went through a little bit of a storm last year, you know, the way things ended. And we had to be resolute, you know, in our commitment to the core of the roster and the coaching staff and everything else. And, you know, we did our due diligence to kind of see what went wrong. And once we reconciled that, you know, the errors that I committed and the errors that, you know, basically resulted in the sweep, were fixable, we were content to kind of move forward with the group. And I do think there's some vindication with showing that kind of a consistency that that model works.
Well, at least he admitted that he had committed errors.
Yeah, I mean, the errors are the bad contracts that are still on your books. And the Allen Crabbe one, too. But you were able to get rid of that, thankfully, because you couldn't afford all of them. But
I imagine if the Nets would have been like, you know what, we've changed our minds. We don't want him.
Well, and how bad did the Nets feel? I mean, Allen Crabbe is the exact same player, still making, what, $17 million a year, I think is what he got. So, I mean, you're looking at $55 million in one offseason that you handed to Allen Crabbe, Evan Turner, Myers Leonard, and Mo Harkless. That is a mistake. So, and I think it's important to point that out and then also give him credit because without Cantor and Hood, you don't go to the Western Conference Finals this year.
No.
I just think I just wonder if that is that the long-term formula that we want to go down? Like you just keep the roster basically the same from year to year, and then you just kind of fish through the trade market, the buyout market at the deadline and try and find a bargain, go bargain hunting every year at the trade deadline. Sometimes you might hit, but to me, that's not a real accurate and sustainable way to build a contending team, and I would rather have a contending team in place on day one of the season.
Well, I want to ask you, we can wrap this up coming up next. Hour two, we have a lot more to get to that's not Blazers. This will kind of wrap up our Blazers stuff for a while until really free agency kicks in July. A couple more thoughts. Neil Olshey will share his thoughts on the offseason ahead. Scottie Pippen chimes in on the Damian Lillard Supermax. And I actually want to pick your brain about something you just said there about, you know, kind of bargain shopping is not maybe the direction you should go. And my question to you, and you can give me the answer on the other side, then what's the solution then? Like, how does Portland not bargain shop? Get your thoughts on that one. We'll wrap up our Blazer stuff. Hour two straight ahead on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.